I feel honored to be before you, and this is a great privilege. And thank you very much for coming just to worship the Lord. We've had great moment with the Lord, and when I was there, and I was like, yes, let them just continue, because I really wanted just to hear the songs. Amazing. I want to talk about my life before I get to the Word, and also to talk about my organization that the Lord has called us to be in. Hezron Obado is my name, just as you've heard from great Pastor Tony. I remember as a young boy staying in a fishing community. Not a very good place, and there was nothing like life that you could admire. And we were there playing as young boys. And then we get this opportunity, this moment that we are supposed to go for a camp where children are supposed to go and have the Word of God being taught. But I never had any clue of what was going to happen. And here I am going to this camp. And in the background, a lot of things were happening. You do a mistake, you're spanked. And here I'm going to a camp which I do not know much about. And I remember I was given a name tag. This name tag was very special to me because it was written and it was printed through a computer. So your name is printed and it's bold. Because what we knew was just when you had to write your name, it's just a pen. But here, my name is written and it is bold, and then embossed in something good, and then put in my cloth. And I felt this was a moment. But as kids, I start playing, and then the badge gets broken. And what I know from the back of my mind is that anytime you do something contrary, what happens is caning, spanking. And here, this lady that Pastor has just introduced, Nancy Richards, comes and tells me that, hey, don't worry. We are going to make for you another one. The Lord loves you. We love you too. And I was like, what? Am I in my own world? What am I seeing? That was the total turnaround. And I said, I don't want any other career. I want to serve children also. I also want to go out and tell the children, the youth, every other person in the community that the Lord loves you. That's what I got from the camp. That's what I'm doing today. And so in SEEK, we worked. And thanks to God, they introduced me to this church. And today I'm here for the second time. Also speaking to the saints who are healed by the blood of Jesus. I'm talking to the saints who are here and are saying that we are going to march home. And so we have started an organization called Nafasi, together with my wife. Nafasi is a Swahili word for opportunity. Opportunity. What are some of the things, opportunity that we have such a time as this before God calls us home? That is the opportunity that I got during that camp, to be taught the Word of God, to listen to men of God speak, to hear them say that God loves you, irrespective of where you've come from, irrespective of your background, irrespective of your family, economic status. I got that opportunity. And from there, I said, yes, I want to go. I have this opportunity before the Lord calls me home. I want to make sure that the opportunity given to me will be utilized, and then I think I will go home empty. I want to die empty. So in Nafasi, we engage three things: engaging the head, engaging the heart, and engaging the hands. Before you do it, are you able to reason with your head, reason with your heart, and then do it? So people are asking for opportunity. Many people in their life, in this world, are looking for opportunity. So we have opportunity to minister to young people in primary schools and in high school. I think primary school here, you call it elementary school. Yeah. So we have the opportunity to minister them in different places. The government has given you opportunity. 50 minutes every Friday, we go and do the ministry. And we speak about the blood of Jesus Christ that will make you free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we have that opportunity to do that. And so we go to the young, those schools, we minister to them. We go to the community and we find young people. And then we empower them through education. We empower them through other life skills. Apart from just education, there is also a lot that make a man to be. So we are trying to bring a boy or bringing a man out of a boy and bringing a woman out of a girl. That is the opportunity that we have today. And then we also have opportunity to minister to the widows and the women in the community, giving them some sustainable development projects that they can do to help them sustain their families. Because that is the opportunity that I was given as a young boy to go to school. And we are also giving the same to them so that they can also come to a point and say, yes, we can now help our children. We can now help our family to make a difference out of it. So nafasi is given to us all. Nafasi is given to each and every person to make a difference, be it in parenting life. You are given opportunity such a time as this to make a difference. Today, I am here, and I purposely made it to have this jacket because I used to see the men of God coming to minister to us and having the jacket and preaching the gospel and saying, the Lord loves you. And I was admiring their jackets. So today, I'm also here with my jacket saying, the Lord loves you. And it's an honor. So opportunities given to us in that one. So I'm married with one wife, Mary. That is my wife. And we have four children. The Lord has blessed us with beautiful children. Ruth is the first one, 10 years old. Esther is the second one. Ruth is Ruth Love. Then the second one is Esther Peace, 7 years old. Then the third one is Nehemiah Hope, 4 years old. And then the last one, who is now weeks old, Eden Joy. And I believe now we are complete, and we just want to have the nafasi, the opportunity to minister to them. Praise the Lord. So that is all about myself and about my ministry. And we believe and we are still asking you to continue supporting us. Thank you so much. You've been of great help to us. You've been supporting us so much. And to make sure that we are facilitated, because you cannot do it without the hands. So just like I said, the first one, we have the hands. The first one hand is yellow. Maybe you can take it back. The second hand is, maybe go back to the nafasi. The first hand is yellow. Then the second hand is blue. And we always ask you or ask people questions. Do you know the reason why your buses or the school buses are painted yellow? And do you know the reason why the police siren are always blue? So this is a revelation on it. Maybe you've seen it for very many years and you've not seen, and you've not even known. The people in that bus are vulnerable. They are weak. So they are supposed to identify them and make sure that you take good care of them. And that is why they are always in yellow buses. And the police officers are always having that siren of blue because they are the brave ones. They can help us. When we see them, we can tell them our problem. So nafasi is saying, give me opportunity. The weak person is saying, give me opportunity that I may run, rise from where I am to a point where I can stand and help my community. The strong people are also saying, give me opportunity that I may also help you come from where you are to a point where you can withstand and make a life out of it. And you cannot talk about a weak person without a strong person. And you cannot talk about a strong person without a weak person. They help each other to make life a reality. Praise the Lord. So that is nafasi for you. That is opportunity for you. That is opportunity for us all. Amen? And I want us now to go to the Word of God. And before we do that one, I just want to pray for us. And then we will get to our Bibles. How many are blessed this morning? How many are happy to see me this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. So that one encourages me so much. Amen. So let's pray, and then we are going to read the scripture. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given to us, the nafasi, that we may come to your sanctuary such a time as this to hear your word, and Lord, my Father, to be ministered by you. These are your people, Jehovah, Lord. They have come specifically to be given something so that they can also be at a position of giving the same even to all the neighbors and the people they will encounter even throughout the week. We thank you. We bless your name. This is our humble prayer. In Christ's name, we pray and believe. Amen. Everybody say amen. I want us to read from the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 10. And we are going to read from verse 46 all the way to 52. And we are going to read it together. Thanks to God, it's on the screen, and we can read. Now the Bible says, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. I want you to ask your neighbor this question. Who is this Jesus passing by? Ask your neighbor that question. Who is this Jesus passing by? So a story is told of a blind man begging somewhere. And this blind man is blind, but he can hear. He's blind, but he can speak. He's blind, but he can walk. So, in his normal routine, he is there, but he had heard about the account of Jesus. That there's this man from the lineage of David. That's according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. That's talking about this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David. And at the same time, it had been also prophesied in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, verse 7. It's talking about the Messiah will come and the kingdom of David will be established. So Bartimaeus has already heard that name. So when he hears that Jesus is passing, then he remembers that he's also a Jew. who understand who Jesus is. And then in this moment, he started shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And if you ask us today, what was special about this man, Bartimaeus? There was nothing and nothing. By the way, if Bartimaeus was with us today, even in our Christmas list, we could not have him to come and visit us and spend Christmas with us. Because he is not having a name, he's not a brand. So the time he's asking for Jesus, everybody's like, I don't think whether you qualify to call that name. You are not part and parcel of this name. So Bartimaeus' testimony is one testimony that almost all of us today can relate to, because we know that this Jesus is able to do something special even in our lives today. And Bible scholars talks about Bartimaeus. When Jesus called him to come, he threw something called a cloak. Some people will call it a garment. Some people will call it a tunic. Some people will call it, you know, whatever it is. But the moment he was called, Jesus stood. And then this person removes the tunic or the garment. The garment was very special in the life of Bartimaeus. Because this one, it was to him something that was helping him in terms of making sure that he's not cold at night. And at the same time, this garment was also very special to him because people could bring the coins, and then he uses that garment to make sure that he collects it because he's blind. So if you throw it on the ground, it means that this person was not going to get it. So it's a great tool for him. But the moment Jesus calls him, he throws this tool out. And why is he doing this? You know, it's a very important thing that I want to talk about, because it makes me happy when I hear about him throwing that tool. Are we still together? So I said, if we understand the meaning of Bartimaeus' cloak, then we'll need to look a bit in the culture. During that time, in the book of Exodus chapter 22, verse 26 to 27, they're saying that if you took or you take your neighbor's cloak as security for loan, you must return it before sunset. This coat may be only blanket your neighbor has. How can a person sleep without it? If you do not return it and your neighbor cries to for help, then I will hear, for I am merciful. So it was very important in the culture. But we see him taking it away. To us, or to my understanding, it's like, I don't think I will need it anymore after encountering Jesus. The other thing is about this cloak, also say from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verse 12 and 13. It says, if your neighbor is poor and give you his cloak as a security for loan, do not keep the cloak overnight. Return the cloak to its owner by sunset so that he can stay warm through the night and bless you. And the Lord your God will count you as righteous. But now we are seeing Bartimaeus with his cloak taking it out. For these two passages, we get a glimpse of how important the cloak was to this man. One, it was not just something that was there, having there, but it was something that was helping him to make a living, to make a trade out of it. Are we still together? Praise the Lord. Because I want us to do something here, and it's coming, bringing me to what I want to talk about. So Bible scholars believe blind Bartimaeus may have spread his cloak in front of him as a kind of catch. All for any coin that were tossed to him. If that were the case, then his cloak was a tool for trade, which I've just said. Without his cloak, he would have difficulties collecting alms that were given to him. Some commentators also believe that when blind Bartimaeus threw his cloak, it was a show of faith. He believed Jesus will heal him, and because he will no longer need it, what was the point of having it again? So here is Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. He has heard about Jesus. He's known Jesus. He's aware of Jesus. He's heard the good thing of Jesus. And this person is passing through a strategic point. If you are in Israel, Jericho was a trade route. And many people were in that area trading and everything. So Bartimaeus is placed well. But I think he's also very tired of begging. He's tired of begging. He's tired of sitting there. He's tired of every day at the same spot. What is the essence of having this clock if Jesus Christ is calling me? So I want to share with us just a few things that Bartimaeus may share with us even today if he was invited by Calvary Long Hollow today. Number one, don't let anybody silence you or discourage your zeal when you are chasing after Jesus. Don't let anybody. Check that verse 48. I think it's done there very well. Let's go back and see verse 48. Many people warned him to be quiet, but he cried out the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Don't let anyone silence you or discourage your zeal when you're chasing for Jesus. As a young man, some people told me, "Oh no, you can't even take 10 days in this salvation." But today, here I am. Discourages are there. People can discourage you. But I thank the Lord so much for Bartimaeus. He had one resource, and that was his voice. He had one tool, and that was his opportunity. That was his nafasi. And he used that tool very well. Don't let anybody silence you or discourage your zeal when you're chasing after this Nazarene, after this man who is able to heal, who is able to provide, who is able to restore. Don't allow anybody to discourage you. This man saw Jesus and he had the opportunity. If somebody asks you today that you have your last chance and use that opportunity to get it, what will it be? Some people here will say, "Hey man, I don't have a wife. I will ask God to give me a wife." Some people will say, "Hey, my truck is so old. I will ask God to give me the truck." What is it that you will tell Jesus? So he had the voice. He had the opportunity. And people rebuked him. Let me give you the dictionary meaning of the rebuke. I was looking at the rebuke and I realized that when we say the rebuke, maybe it is kind of, it's not making sense, it's not having weight. But I was reading it and I realized that this is the meaning. The strong word, the Oxford Dictionary defines rebuke this way: express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or action. To him, it's not supposed to call. To him, he's supposed to be having his own place. to him is not supposed to be calling this great man Messiah, the King of Kings. He is having his own place. But again, he does not use that. He says, I will call them all. And I remember, the more they told him that, the more he cried, the more. So don't allow anybody to silence you, whether you're a child. As a young boy, I was told that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. That's what I was told. That's what I've read. And you cannot take it from me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I wanted to go back again to the testimony that I was saying, that during that time, the courage that I had is when we were given the book of Psalms 46 verse 10. I believe you know what it says. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted on earth. And so this one was fragmented. And then they give us a piece of papers and then they told us, can you arrange them? And here I am, this man, trying to arrange this thing, and I never knew even English words to arrange this one. But something pushed me. Something pushed me to go and arrange them. And I went there. I don't know what happened, but what I know is people started clapping for me. Hey, good job, you've done it. That's where I got my courage. Some people have been silenced. They do something and they're told, oh no, you can't do it. Oh, no, no. Even if you try your best, they will silence you. I got my courage that time. What I know is that I do not know whether I arranged that verse very well. But what I can remember is people clapped for me. When they clapped for me, I got the courage. So don't allow people to silence you. That's what thing that Bartimaeus will tell you today. Number two, your relationship with Christ is personal. Tell your neighbor that. Your relationship with the Lord is personal. Tell your neighbor that. I want to hear you telling your neighbor that your relationship with the Lord is personal. Uh-huh. Good. Every time when I think about this one, I think about my wife that you saw on the picture. And I also think about this scripture that says that two people will be found lying on the bed. One will be taken, another one will be left. Have you heard that scripture? So every time when I'm with Mary, my wife, I always ask myself, now, between Mary and I, who is going to be taken? And who's going to be left? So every time when I see her pray, and I say, oh, man, it is your time to pray also, because one will be taken. Your relationship with the Lord is personal. They're not going to ask you like, Mr. John Howarth, together with Lisa, can you come and give account of your life when you are living in this world? You are going to be alone. Bartimaeus was also the same. His relationship, I believe maybe people were bringing him to that place and taking him back. But he was tired of it. Maybe other people were very okay with that because maybe he was bringing some good money for them. But he was tired of it. Your relationship with the Lord is personal. How I relate with my God is personal. I don't want to be left alone. I don't want to say that I hung in the coat of my dad, or my pastor. That if my pastor goes to heaven, then I will go to heaven. No, your relationship with the Lord is personal. So Bartimaeus knew where the shoes was pinching him. So he cried them all. He cried and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Sometimes when you're in a group, we may think that things are okay. But when you go back home, that's when you realize that your problem is your own. Sometimes you can also be on the same bed. You don't sleep, and your wife is snoring. And you ask yourself, where is he getting the sleep? Hey, your relationship with the Lord is personal. So this person also realized that my relationship with the Lord is personal. So he cried the more. Think about that one. So the society were physical, and they were going to buy him from getting to Jesus. But he decided, I've decided that I want to walk this walk alone. I don't want to make you happy when I'm in this walk. I just want to tell you the truth when I'm in this walk. My relationship with the Lord is personal. And I also want each and every person also to have it that way. Even the children at home, their relationship with the Lord is personal. When I go to school and I talk to them, at the end of the day, the relationship is supposed to come now, because sometimes I meet up to 2,100 students. But again, each and every person must make a decision. You cannot be pushed in it, but you have to make it. Your relationship with the Lord is personal. Like blind Bartimaeus, we need to focus on God and Him only. We have a race to run, and we can only do that when we pay attention to the path set before us and not allow ourselves to get distracted by what others say about us. People can say anything about us. Like we had great songs here. Some people will even find negative in it and say, oh, you guys, you don't even know how to sing. Oh, you could have maybe brought so-and-so to come and sing. They will still find fault in it. But your relationship with the Lord is personal. Number three. I'm having 4 points, so this is my number three. Number three says, obstacles will be put in your way. Be ready to cast them aside. Obstacles are there. In this walk we are walking, obstacles are there. Even when we are coming maybe to church, sometimes even the enemy comes and tells you, you know, discourage you, tell you, you don't need to go to church. You don't even need to go there and listen to this word. Obstacles are there. But you have the opportunity to come out of it. Obstacles are there. Obstacles can even come from our own family members. I remember the voices that I was told when I was a young boy, you can't amount to anything. You are doomed. You don't have an academic background. The school you went to is a lower school. We come from a group of schools. But today, who is this God who remembered Bartimaeus? Who remembered one who was not having a voice in the community? Obstacles are there, but opportunities are also there. They have the opportunity to act. And I love this scripture from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 1. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. In whatever area it is, people will block you. But you have the opportunity to arise and to shine. Today, let me tell you one thing. This is a testimony. Anybody who looks at me here or who sees me here, preaching here, maybe back from my home, they will say that that's a child of grace. Because if you ask how I came to this place, how I got the opportunity to be here, that's a mystery. The opportunity that I got. So people can silence you. People can tell you words. They can tell you that you are not even qualified for this kind of work. Don't listen to them. Don't pay that attention. The moment you pay attention, the moment we're going to be taken somewhere. When they say that, you know, in this community, you cannot have a good marriage. No, tell them that, hey, we have pastors here who are having, they've been in their marriage for 50 years, for 20 years, for 30 years. Show them. People can tell you that it is not possible. Tell them it is possible. They will come. Look at what happened there. We are going to read maybe verse 48 and 49b, part of it. I just love what it says there. It says, then many warned him to be quiet. These are people. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy. And 49b says, then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. You know, the same people who told him that he is not qualified, be quiet, are the same people telling him, cheer up. He's calling you. Some people will only identify themselves with you when you're doing well. Others will not. Actually, I remember the book of Job. Job is a celebrity in town. Job is doing well. But all of a sudden, Job is now on the ground. Do you see even friends coming? When you're doing well, they will come. When you're suffering, they will refrain from coming. But the thing is, cheer up, he's calling you. No matter the situation where you are in, cheer up, he's calling you. Who is this Jesus passing? Who is this Jesus? When I was taught about this Jesus, and I remember when I was here 7 years ago, and I said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower where the righteous run to it, and they are safe. At the mentioning of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is what I eat today. Jesus is what I live today. This Jesus of Nazareth will not and cannot forsake you. Your friends can forsake you. Many people can rebuke you. But Jesus will stand and will wait for you. And the moment he was called, these people, I remember also during the time of Jesus' death, at one point, these guys are saying, Hosanna in the highest, because Jesus is coming, you know. But again, the following day, I don't know what happened to the same people. Crucify him. The same people. So who is this Jesus to you? And who are the people who are coming to rebuke you and to tell you, stop, you don't qualify? You qualify. You are anointed to live this life. This is your time. This is your time. You can arise. You can shine. When the Lord gives you a mandate, you will do it no matter what happens, and he will bring people in your life. Bartimaeus is receiving Jesus. Who is this Jesus to you? And the last one, which is number 4, says, don't pay attention to the crowd. Don't pay attention to the crowd. And God has not promised us that he's not going to bring the crowd in our lives. Crowds are there, and they will come. But we don't really need to pay any attention to them. Because when you do it, when the majority speak, you may think that they are right. When have you seen the majority being right? When have you seen them being right? In terms of decision, they are the only one making wrong decision because they are majority. Majority can discourage you. Majority can tell you anything. But you have to think about this one. Blind Bartimaeus, we see here, people tried to silence him when he cried out to Jesus. So had it happened to them, they would have said, hey, we have made it. But he decided not to allow them to silence him, to make him down. Don't pay attention to the crowd. Crowd only wants to hear what they want to hear, what you want to tell them. That is the crowd for us today. Don't pay attention to them. Crowds are there. They're speaking even today. They're even whispering to you to now in terms of the decision that you're making, which is right. Crowd can do anything. If you can hear me, I want you to put it this way. Just put this one in. If you can hear me, just raise your hand this way. That's another way of maybe asking people, if you are sleeping, don't sleep. Crowd is bad. But crowd can also be an opportunity for you to arise. Because without it, you may also think that you're doing very well. But when they come into your life and they do all these things, then you are able to see ways in which you can come out of it. Don't pay attention to the crowd. When Jesus talked to Bartimaeus, these same people tried to encourage Bartimaeus. Hey, come. He's calling you. I just don't know the situation of Bartimaeus this time. Maybe I say, like, hey, leave me alone. Let me walk majestically to the King of Kings. You asked me to stop. Now he's standing asking me to come. Hey, don't rush me. I want to go to him just as I am. There's power in his calling. When he calls you, yes, things will be tough, but you can make it. You know, sometimes I always ask myself, if God was to tell us how our life was going to be, and also tell us the processes of our lives, then we'll tell God, if you are 70 years old here, you will have told God, kill me at the age of 40. But because he has not given you the processes of how your life is going to be, then you will make sure that you deal with that problem as it comes every day. And that is why we have him. So when people will come to discourage you, to do anything to you, you will still say, I am ready to face the day. And I want to finish with a certain story. This story is like the one of Bartimaeus. But it can also apply to your life or daily lives. Many people are conforming to the patterns of this world when the situation comes. When the situation comes like the one of Bartimaeus, when they are told to be silent, they will be silent. Now, that these two young people, I love speaking this, seeing this story. One is called Michael, another one is called David. These guys are walking and are there in a desert, in a Muslim country. And they are so tired, they are hungry, and they are thirsty. And then they see something looking like a house somewhere. And David tells Michael, this is our opportunity. We can change our situation to favor us. So David tells Michael, from today, you are not going to call me David. From today, start calling me Omari or Muhammad. Which one is okay with you, David? Michael? Michael says, yes, I'm going to call you Muhammad. Because I want to have something. I want to be favored in that place. I want to change my name. That is the voice. And then Michael tells him, I'm not going to change my name. I'm just going to remain Michael. And so they walk, and towards that area, they find an imam, a leader of that area, and they introduce themselves. So David starts, and he has mastered his word very well, and he says, my name is Muhammad. I know all the protocols of Muslim way of life. And we have come here, we are walking around, and we are exploring the land. And then the time of Michael comes, and he says, my name is Michael. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal savior. I'm together with brother Mohammed, and we are exploring the land. And then Imam says, well and good. You guys, you're most welcome. And then he calls someone who was attending to him, and he says, you come and get food for these people. And so David, whose name is now Muhammad, is so happy that he is going to be favored because he is part and parcel of these people. And then the imam, when the food is brought, the imam tells David, who is now the Muhammad, and he starts with Michael, hey, Michael, welcome, have your food, get your water, and make sure that you enjoy yourselves. You enjoy yourself, not yourselves. Enjoy yourself. And then for you, Muhammad, you know very well that we are observing the month of Ramadan, so you know what we do during the month of Ramadan. People are supposed to do what? Fast. Don't let the situation make you change what you are supposed to do as a person to build his kingdom. And that is going to be my last word. The crowd are there. They will talk to you. But you have the choice. Can we pray? Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given unto us. And I hear Jehovah Lord, just like Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And today is sharing with us a lot of things that we're supposed to do as Christians today. That in our pursuit for you, Jesus, we are not supposed to be silenced. In our pursuit for you, Jesus, we are not supposed to have this salvation as a collective entity. And in our pursuit for you, we are not supposed to allow the obstacles to make its own way. And in our pursuit for you, we are not supposed to listen to the crowd. So help us, Jesus, to listen to your still voice that is telling us this is the way, walk in it. And we thank you, we worship you. For this is our humble prayer. In Christ's name we pray and believe. Everybody say amen. 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 Thank you very much.